Aaron Rodgers taking psychedelics. Do you have any idea? Were you ever invited?
I was not invited on those trips. I didn't know all that stuff. That was I haven't watched that yet. But I've been informed by a lot of people about all that stuff. So hey, whatever it takes, I guess.
Would you like to be invited on that?
Peggy always with the best questions of the day, every single day.
Listen, the hard-hitting questions, someone has to be willing to ask them, and Peggy Kaczynski has never shied away.
I think prior to the last couple of days, everyone had to be dosing to watch that offense play up at Halas Hall.
Does it look better when you're on shrooms and psychedelics?
But maybe you can convince yourself that some of those passes are actually being completed and some of those blocks are actually good.
Are you willing to take Aaron Rodgers' lead and try some psychedelic drugs?
I took mushrooms at one time in college.
Uh-huh.
And watched The Wizard of Oz and basically had to be held back from jumping out a third floor window, and I had to be walked back to my dorm room.
Did you think you were a flying monkey?
I had no idea what was going on. I will say this. Mm-hmm. I did rally because after kind of sweating it out, I did find my way to the bar by 11:30 that night.
Beautiful. See, I actually did shrooms in Amsterdam.
Did you?
In the red light district. Let me tell you, it was a fantastic experience.
Was it?
Yes. Yes. Good times.
I hear there's a medicinal benefit to it. What I got was not that.
No.
I did not get that.
See, I got the tip from the shroom shop that I bought them from.
Oh, good.
You carry some vitamin C, so they recommended carrying around some orange juice and also some chocolate. Chocolate enhances the high, vitamin C brings you back down a little bit. So you kind of have the choice. If you're getting a little too out there,
go ahead and drink some
OJ.
Yeah, I was a sophomore at college. It was the last time that ever happened. I'm 55 now.
All right,
do it again.
Let's bring in Peggy Kaczynski and ask her about her best experience on psychedelic drugs. Peggy, you're on Waddle and Sylvie with Meller and for Sylvie. Any experience you'd like to share with us?
Well, it's funny that you guys are all saying this because, you know, I went to SIU Carbondale, and I think that was the mushroom capital of the Midwest. I specifically remember the last time I did them. We used to put them, Meller, you're right, because we used to mix them either with orange juice or we would make milkshakes and
there
blend
it. Milkshakes. Mushroom milkshakes, Peg?
Yeah. And the last time I did it, I was at a party and I was obsessed with a puddle on the ground, thinking it looked like a map of the United States. So, it's funny that I remember that, but yeah. So, couldn't go to Carbondale without experimenting.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
Good to know.
Hey, man, that's what college is for, right?
Hey, what?
That's right.
On a more sports or football related topic, Peg, what can you tell us about what's happening with Tevin Jenkins? What's the real story here?
I wish I could tell you what the real story is. I can't quite get a grasp of what came first. If you think about it, you know, the last year's Bears staff, he was falling out of favor the last two games of the season. You know, he was called into action when Jason Peters got hurt. And started, what was that, week 14 or 15? I don't remember right now. And then his snaps went down significantly in the last two games of the season. So he was kind of falling out of their favor then. But new staff comes in, and he's given every opportunity to prove what he can do, come back healthy, was in a good frame of mind, it seemed, at their mini camps. And I don't know if it was the drafting of Braxton Jones that convinced one party or the other that they didn't need one or the other, if you know what I mean.
Yep, right.
I don't know if it's the team decided they don't need it or if the player decided he doesn't need them. But I don't think it's a definite that, you know, he's going anywhere. I mean, look at what happened with the Cubs, right? You can shop and you can go shopping. It doesn't mean you're buying anything. So,
but he's not hurt. As far as you know, he's not injured?
I don't know. That's the weird thing is we don't see him on an exercise bike. I've been to three practices, so, you know, I am not doing, you know, Courtney's job in any way. But, you know, he's not on an exercise bike, so, you know, that could easily mean that, you know, maybe he has an injury that he can't get on the bike yet.
Right.
I don't know, but it's just the timing of everything is just a little sneaky, suspicious. I do think that if both parties came together, they could coexist. And I think that, you know, the last thing the Bears want to do is make a big mistake and, you know, desperately need a tackle. And, you know, the last thing I think that on Jenkins' side is he wants, you know, a negative image across the league when he has every opportunity with this team to prove that he is a starting tackle.
Yeah, Peg,
and Mugetti said he'll give it to him. He'll give him that opportunity to go, get right in the competition.
Yeah, Peg, this is like one of the strangest Bears camp stories I've heard in a very long time because we really don't know what it is. Are the Bears telling him until you've, you know, had a change of mind or a change of heart, stay over here? Is Tevin Jenkins saying, I'm not practicing, I'm not happy with this situation? If that's the case, and again, pure speculation, he can go kick rocks. If he doesn't want to practice because his feelings are hurt that he wasn't given a job, then I can understand why this team would want to move on from him. It just, it's a very weird situation that it seems like at some point something would leak out that would confirm whatever it is that it is keeping it in the manner it is.
Well, and even sometimes you can tell, like, Matt Eberflus definitely took a harder line in it than Luke Getsy. And even asking some of the offensive linemen, he's in meetings, he's active participant, he's all up to date on everything, he's doing mental reps right now. You know, typically, Tom, when there's a bad blood going on, you'll get something more like, we don't talk about players that aren't on the field.
Yep.
You know, and they shut them right out. So you're not getting that. I think, you know, I think both sides are trying to feel each other out, but definitely they are talking to other teams to see what they can get. I mean, that's a definite. And, you know, listen, I think if they got a fifth rounder or better, they would pull the trigger.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Interesting. Peggy Kaczynski joining us here on ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie Mellor in for Sylvie today. Peg, we played a lot of Luke Getsy earlier today. What stood out to you of all the things that you heard from the Bears offensive coordinator?
Well, he admits that wide receivers and offensive line is still totally up for grabs, that they are trying guys everywhere. They're moving guys around. You know, Riley Reiff today was right tackle, so they're definitely giving everyone a look all over the field. He said they're not close. They're not close. But what stood out was his praise for Cole Kmet, talking about Cole Kmet's toolbox and how many things he's working on right now, and that he really doesn't think Cole was even aware of everything that he had in that toolbox to use, and that he sees him really being on the verge of a breakthrough. And he said, like, quote unquote, Luke Getsy said that I hope he has a breakthrough at the end of this camp and becomes the stud, all-star, rock star that we think he can be. I mean, that's some high praise. And Kmet even said he's working on a lot of things. He's working on his release. He's working on his route running. He said it's not just about pass catching anymore. He's working on, you know, his blocking. It's really been interesting, his route progressions and how to run the routes against the same route, whether it's against a linebacker or a defensive back, and learning how to change that up. And it sounds like this staff, he's learning a lot from on what all he is capable of doing.
Yeah, I think we all have the same hopes for Cole Kmet this in his third year. Peg, in all of the training camps that you've covered, have you ever seen an offense work against a scout team this early in camp? And are you buying what Getsy said, that we've got other teams in the division that play a three-man front? Or is this offense has struggled mightily and needs to feel better about itself?
No, I don't think it's about feeling better about itself. So the guys today said this was the toughest practice they've had by far. Guys were gassed. And this staff is all about making sure that they are able to build muscle memory and not see something for the first time, to the point where it's like, oh, I've seen this before. Yep, I know what to do now. It can't be the first time you see it is on the field in a game, you know, in week five, and all of a sudden, you know, no one knows what to do. So they're doing a lot of things to build that muscle memory. They're doing a lot of Whether it's the crowd noise, which every coach does, we know that. Right. Substitutions. We have two teams in the division that have a 3-4 defense. We better start working on 3-4 defense. So I really do think they're trying to throw a lot at them so that these guys get used to it. They don't do a lot of scripted plays at all. This is not a staff that likes to sit there and go through it. They'd rather do situational coaching. Let's play the first period. Let's play the second quarter. Let's play the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Now let's go first down, second down, third down. Whatever the game brings you, whatever it brings you in practice, let's see you react off of that. So they're really trying to teach them how to react in situations. And it's like a muscle memory thing. It's everything from physical to mental. And the mental reps are really what I think we might be seeing why the offense is struggling so much, because they got a lot to think about, and they're not there. It's a lot mentally that they're making mistakes.
Does it make sense to you as you watch what they're trying to do, or do you sit there going, what the hell are you all trying to accomplish here?
Yeah, no, I find it impressive. Let's see if it works. I've never seen anything like this, ever. When all of a sudden we saw the scout team go out there and they're changing jerseys, and I was like, uh-oh, what did I just miss? I looked around, I'm like, do they always do this? And everyone's like, no. So they had the defensive linemen in one color, they had the linebackers in another color, and then they had the defensive backs in a third color. And I think it's also an opportunity for Justin Fields to be able to identify in a 3-4 defense who he's looking at. Oh, okay, this is where the linebackers are going to be lining up on me. Oh, this is where the safety's going to be. So, yeah, I mean, I like the thinking of situational football. But here's the where you have to really, really kind of put the brakes on. Like Michael Schofield said, they ran the same offensive scheme in Denver, and they were terrible, terrible, until about week four of the season. And he said, all of a sudden, it just started clicking, and they got very good. And I think that's just what you have to do. You have to see enough situations to know how to react and to been there before, know what to do with it.
Peggy Kaczynski joining us after covering Bears training camp here on ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie Mellor in for Sylvie today. All right, Peggy, to the defensive side of the ball, Kyler Gordon was not a participant in practice today. Robert Quinn also missing. What can you tell us about them?
Well, you know, what's weird is that with this, with the new regime, in years past, we always ended practice with the head coach walking over to the media, and the PR person would have a list, and we'd all like write down who did not practice today. Now, we could see it with our own naked eye. We go through all the different groupings and we mark off guys that are not there. We go look to see who's on the bikes, and we circle those are the guys that are doing some kind of rehab or conditioning. But they don't do that with this group. And so you don't know why Robert Quinn wasn't there. I'm guessing the last time Robert Quinn talked, he talked about how he's a veteran. He's been here, 13 times before. He's taking it slow. If I had to guess, it would be a Veterans Day, because we did not see him. We did see Kyler Gordon on the bikes early on. I don't know if that's a conditioning day. I mean, Tommy, they don't do conditioning at the end of practice.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that's new to me. I'm so used to them going through conditioning drills, but they go through every drill so hard that they're gassed. Truly, they want them to be able to play the last period like it's the first period, and you have to be able to play tired. They don't need the conditioning.
Lovey did some of that too back in the day, didn't he, when he first took over, as he basically worked them and tried to kind of weed out those that were weak.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that Luke Getsy talked about today. He said, man, I can't wait to see today's film, because I want to see what guys couldn't handle it. I want to see, who couldn't do it today.
Yeah.
At one point, Cole Kmet had his hands on his knees. He was gassed. So, it's going to tell you a lot. It's 88 degrees outside, and it was a nonstop. It's nonstop motion.
Yeah.
There's no loafing. There's no, you could watch these guys going through offensive line drills, and, they're kind of going through the motions, or a defensive lineman is, you know, shedding the blocker and he's just kind of, you know, windshield wiper easy. But these guys go so hard, you know, it's definitely like they are reenacting a game situation. And this is just on drills. So it's, you know, it's an interesting approach. We'll see if it works.
Remember the days when you'd have a morning practice that lasted 3 hours and it was run focused on the running game, then you'd have an hour special teams walk through, and then you'd focus on another 3 hour practice in the afternoon for the passing game. Things have changed, I would say, for the better, but I'm glad to hear that they're working hard. Who has impressed you, Peg, the days that you've been out there? Who's caught your eye on both sides of the ball?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I saw a couple of nice catches by Velus Jones. That was one of the things I was concerned with. Is he a route runner? Is he that much of a receiver? Or is he a guy that's going to be out of the backfield getting bubble screens and things like that? He had a couple of nice deep ones today. But I'll tell you what, Brisker, he was right in there again with another, I don't know if it was a fumble by Cole Kmet today. The ball did pop loose. We didn't have a real good eye on it, but Brisker was right there. So he looks really good. I still think that you can't say anything about the offensive line, to be honest with you. I mean, they're still in installation, so it's hard to actually give guys any kind of a grade. But you're seeing the skill players start to show some skill, which is interesting.
That's good.
Peggy, can you give us any insight on what you've been able to learn about the whole Roquan Smith situation? Because we have to admit we're a little bit confused. We don't know, you know, who is advising him in particular, if it's anybody, because we know he's kind of representing himself, and what the holdup could be or the impasse between the Bears organization and Roquan Smith for getting a potential long-term deal done.
Well, we don't know anything because they put him on the PUP list, and so he's not available to talk to the media. We keep hearing that he's representing himself, but Ryan Poles would not give us any, like, yay or nay, if that's true. When he went through, if you remember, when he went through his rookie deal, there was a little bit of a holdout at the time, and it was with some of the fine money, I think it was.
Yes.
He didn't want to be a part of, you know, the lowering the head hits or something. He didn't want to have to pay those types of fines. It was something strange. And at that time, you know, the agent that he had is still listed as his agent with the NFLPA. I've tried to get some clarification on that, but the NFLPA tells me, well, that's who's still listed. We don't know anything else. It's hard to tell what it is that the holdup is, but if you want to go back and say, what was it 4 years ago? Was it he wants guaranteed money? Maybe that's something more along those lines. Listen, he was a finance major in college, and there's a close family member who is one of his consultants. I don't know who that is, but unless his name is Merrill Lynch, I'm not so sure that I really care. Again, it's another really, really kind of interesting. But they're very, very up about when they talk about Roquan. I think something's going to get done. They're definitely like, oh, he's great. He's in the meetings. He's helping out. He's, you know, coaching when he's there in practice. We don't get that same thing from the offensive lineman, Tevin Jenkins, that's not in practice. So it's just the story of two different guys, and I think you can kind of see maybe how the team is approaching them as well. So
before we let you go, Peg, what have you seen from Justin Fields? What are your early thoughts on how he has played early in camp?
What's interesting, you know, I still think he holds on to the ball a little bit too long. I think there's like a beat that you can see him just half of a beat that he waits. I think, you know, he's thinking a lot, needs to kind of go through his progressions a little quicker. I think he needs to, you know, he's competitive, and he is calling guys out. What we're hearing in the meeting rooms is that he is very vocal, and in film, he has no problem telling guys, you know, when they did something wrong. He's consulting with the receivers all the time. Listen, he's got a bevy of receivers that he's trying to figure out timing with. So he's constantly working with them. You know, I mean, we'll see. You know, it's all got to carry over into a game and see how productive he can be. It's got to become instinct, though, and less thinking, and they're not there yet.
And you can notice that. You've covered enough camps where you know that things are natural, or you know how. It just doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't feel right or doesn't feel good just yet.
No, not just yet. I think it's too early, and I think that there's a lot of the tempo is missing right now, and I think that's because of the fact that he's got so many new guys on this offense. I mean, that he's still trying to figure it out. But what's interesting, he goes to walkthroughs at night, and they do all situational walkthroughs. And Getsy said, this is the difference between, this is what makes great quarterbacks great. They love situational drills, and they can't get enough of it. And he said he cannot get enough of situational. Even in walkthroughs at night, he's constantly wanting to do situationals. So that's good. And he's very competitive in the meeting room with their basketball hoop. Apparently they have a basketball net that is not an over-the-door, you know, Nerf hoop. It's nailed to the wall and is extremely competitive in the quarterback room. And any position players, skill players that come in there have to go through a game of forest with him. So he's very, very competitive with that. So
late night walkthroughs. They were different back in the day. Hampton would do those at the VFW down in Platteville or at Denise's. But yeah, I'm glad to hear.
You know what else is different, Tommy? The food at Hallis Hall is apparently really good these days.
Ooh,
Michael
nice.
Schofield said lobster rolls and Lou Malnati's. Darnell Mooney said the frozen grapes are amazing.
Wow.
So who
frozen
knew
grapes.
That all of a sudden Hallis Hall is turning into, you know, a mecca of culinary experience.
And they get to sleep in their own beds, right? I mean, unless you're a rookie or you're new in town, you stay at the hotel.
Or if you're a GM, you have your own bedroom right there if you need it.
There
so
you go.
And they have me time. They have, it's called me time, where they're encouraged to, you know, tune everything out. And,
that is so 2022. Me time.
Look at you, old man player.
Oh, that's funny.
Waddle being envious of that. Peggy Kaczynski covering the Bears for us on ESPN 1000. And I would also highly recommend that anybody who missed it, Peg and Dion did a great interview with Bears rookie wide receiver Velus Jones last weekend. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Peggy and Dion will be on tomorrow from 11 to 1. Peggy, what do you guys have in store for tomorrow's show?
We have another player that will be joining us tomorrow. I don't know yet who it will be, but another Bears player will be coming on, Peggy and Dion, because, you know, it's the show to go to on Saturday.
It is.
I mean, they have fun with it. So we'll be talking about that. Talk a little Deshaun Watson. Of course, we have to talk that. Maybe get into some psychedelic mushroom experiences because you know there's no way
Dion's ever
gone near that. So I am going to shock her and tell her my stories. It's
fantastic.
You know, she's the girl that you want to bring home. I'm the one that you don't.
Stop it. You guys are fantastic together. Always great stuff, Peg. Thanks so much, and have a great show tomorrow. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
That is Peggy Kaczynski,
she's
as
fabulous.
I said, covering the Bears for us.
I hope her guest tomorrow is Tevin Jenkins.
I was just going to... Tevin or Roquan Smith?
I'd rather hear from Tevin Jenkins.
Me too, but you know what? I would settle for Roquan Smith. That'd be an excellent...
But I'm still holding out for Tevin Jenkins.
I agree with you completely.
Listen, Peggy's as dialed in as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy's got sources. Peggy's... She doesn't take no for an answer in a lot of situations. Like, she gets, you know, gets the story. It's a mystery still.
Yeah.
What is the motivation for him not being on the field?
A lot of vagaries surrounding it, and this coaching staff doesn't want to give us specifics. Yeah, get it. You know what? If Tevin doesn't appear tomorrow on Peggy and Dion, let's see if we can get Tevin on Waddle and Sylvie next week. I'm Jeff Meller, in for Sylvie this week. Peggy just mentioned right there they're going to cover a little bit of Deshaun Watson coverage and his suspension and how the NFL is handling it. You know what? Coincidentally, there's something occurring in Cleveland this weekend that is insane.
Yes.
You cannot believe it. You'll hear about it in Waddle's World next.
When you want something great, you probably don't want to wait for it, right? I mean, you're probably stuck in traffic right now. How's that feel? That's not enjoyable, is it? Of course not. Well, Xfinity has a great new offer on fast internet right now. You'll get unlimited internet with gig speed and supersonic Wi-Fi. And get this, there's no annual, There's no annual contract required. There's no equipment fees and a two-year internet rate guarantee. Plus, it even comes with a free Flex 4K streaming box. It's all just $50 a month when you add Xfinity Mobile, a price that is truly jaw-dropping. The Xfinity Supersonic Bundle. Don't wait. Visit Xfinity.com/gig. Call them at 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store to learn more today. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with a stored bank account. New gigabit internet customers only. Xfinity Mobile requires post-pay Xfinity internet. After 24 months, regular rates apply to all services and devices.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. I'm going to get weird with a medical story for you first before we get into the sports-a-roo. By the way, Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners and friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Just saw this. Miracle molecules have been discovered. Scientists find compound that reverses aging and developing, they're looking to develop a longevity drug.
Okay. I'm interested.
This is a story out of Jerusalem. A fountain of youth drug could soon make the problems of aging a thing of the past. Researchers in Israel say they have identified a group of molecules that repair the damaged parts of cells which break down over time. That discovery may also lead to a new pill that prevents age-related diseases such as Alzheimer's. Scientists from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem note that modern medicine has helped to increase the average life expectancy worldwide. However, as people live longer, they face more and more problems associated with old age. With that in mind, the team set out to balance the benefits of longevity with a better quality of life in our later years. During their study, the researchers developed a drug which protects human cells from damage, making it possible for a person's tissues to retain their proper function for a longer period of time. Inject that right into my liver. Right now. Right now.
So we can learn to live forever before
don't
or
bring a
after
dark, don't bring the dark
the
cloud
Earth spins
over,
off its axis.
Which is another story. I don't think, did you give that one
I
to me?
I did give that one to you.
Yeah,
did
I
you
can't
lose it
find
already?
It. I probably did, but that one... We'll save that one for the back end of Waddle's World. How about that?
How about the Cubbies locked in a pitcher's duel with the Marlins?
Really?
I think we I don't think it is, but Justin Steele.
Oh, by the way, did you see?
10
did you see?
And
did you see who's
two-thirds?
At the bottom of the NL Central?
The Cubs or the Reds?
Oh, no. The Cubs.
Wow.
Cubs have taken over the cellar in the National League Central. The Reds.
You know what?
Have advanced past that cellar mark.
That's a showdown for a Field of Dreams game, if ever I heard
Where's
one.
Where's Merkin? Are the kids starting to come together?
My guess is, hey, Waddle, my
you know
guess
who I
is.
I ran by today?
Wait, real quick. Merkin is probably at the Cubs game right now.
Right. Yeah.
On my morning run today, I ran by Patrick Wisdom.
Oh, did you?
Lot smaller than I thought he was.
Really?
I love you.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile.
Wait, he's probably 6'2 and 200 pounds, isn't he?
No, they list him at 6'2. He was not taller than me.
Really? How tall are you?
I'm like 5'11.
No way.
Yeah.
They lie about that stuff in sports not named baseball. I mean, why are you lying about that in baseball? Maybe it wasn't Patrick Wisdom.
It was definitely
handsome,
Patrick,
though. Handsome guy.
Good looking dude. Yeah. Was with his family. Was walking into Wrigley. Yeah.
I love that in the previous break, we were discussing what governors you could recognize. Yeah. And Tyler's like, I can't recognize any governors.
Right.
Then he's like, I ran by Patrick Wisdom today.
Yeah,
I don't
point.
Know if I'd be
he's
able
outside
to.
Outside of Wrigley. Like, yeah.
Fair. I don't know, but he's not 6'2", so are you sure it was him?
Yeah, it looked just like him, and he was walking into the players' parking lot.
All right, probably he was wearing
that baseball team, man. Like, we've got some frustrating situations in this town, don't we, when it comes to that?
At least you can watch Wilson Contreras swing a bat these days, that's nice.
Rams coach Sean McVay says Matthew Stafford's elbow pain is abnormal for a quarterback.
I hate to hear that.
Yeah, comparing it to what pitchers deal with. Stafford, who dealt with an elbow injury last year, received an injection in his right elbow during the offseason. He did not throw during the Rams' spring workout, saying he and the team were trying to be smart with his throwing arm. Stafford threw during individual and seven-on-seven drills yesterday, but did not take part in the team reps. It's really interesting. Like, what? That team is obviously built to win now. They have mortgaged their future for the here and the now, and it's worked
for them. Well worth it, though, wouldn't
you say? Absolutely. Yeah, I would. This is why when we were talking with Carmen the Good Kid, the conversation about Jimmy G, the San Francisco 49ers are going to cut him because they will get over $20 million of cap relief when, in fact, they do release him, unless somebody trades for him. But why would you trade for him if you know they're going to cut him anyway? I know you laid out a scenario that I think makes total sense in Cleveland. I don't think Deshaun Watson's going to be able to play this year. Some have said that when they review this appeal and the desire of the league is to suspend him indefinitely, which would be a year, and then he can ask for reinstatement at the end of the year and a large fine. As soon as that happens, then he'll sue. I've heard some people or read where some people say if, in fact, he sues, there could be an injunction and allow him to play in week one.
Yes, I've heard that, but I've also seen that's the likelihood. He may get an injunction, but the reality is that based upon the precedent that has been set with Tom Brady and Ezekiel Elliott in the past, and the fact that the CBA calls
for all of this,
Roger Goodell,
that would be quickly denied.
Exactly. Yeah. So even though he might get an injunction, it could be very, very short-lived, temporary. And would it really be worth it for the Browns as an organization if it's just going to be shut down within a week or two?
It's a good question. I think you laid out the scenario that would be the perfect spot for Jimmy G, because other than the quarterback, this team is built to win. True. But what if they find out Jimmy talks to the Rams and they find out that maybe there's a whisper that, man, this thing could, not only is it bad now, we don't know that it'll ever get better. What if Jimmy G decides to take less money after he's released and the Rams pick up Jimmy G and Sean McVay puts him into the lineup waiting for Matthew Stafford to get healthy? Maybe Stafford doesn't ever get healthy and Jimmy G takes over as the Rams quarterback.
These are all very interesting scenarios and things I'd like to talk about maybe a little bit more when we have a little bit more time coming up at 4 o'clock. Not just that quarterback situation, but there's another thing going on in the NFC West, which we have to get to as well. We're going to do all that at 4 o'clock, I promise.
Yeah, by the way, Shanny's not happy about all the fights that are going on in 49ers camp. He's saying, hey, listen, you don't have to... Your toughness isn't defined by throwing punches in practice. I think that's a very solid take on his behalf. Cleveland is sticking with their quarterback prep plan despite the NFL's appeal of Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension. They're just going along like, hey, Deshaun's our quarterback. Wilson has gotten the overwhelming majority of the snaps with the first-team offense. Backup Jacoby Brissett has mostly worked with the second team. We'll just kind of await clarity on the situation. Kevin Stefanski, their coach, said, before today's practice, just continue to move along with what we're doing. Good luck with that, Kevin.
I don't know what they were hoping for, because the reality was that, remember, the Cleveland Browns came up with a statement the moment that Sue L. Robinson rendered her verdict, that they were essentially in full support. You know, clearly they had a vested interest in Deshaun Watson, you know, being suspended and getting back to playing for them very quickly. But it's interesting because this was always going to be the way that the NFL approached this. And once we got word, now, you know, it's not just that Charles Robinson, who does a really good job investigative reporting, also covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports, laid out not just the scenario that you represented where the NFL wants him gone for a year, but an alternative path. They want one of two scenarios. They either want him gone for the full season and have to apply for reinstatement, or I've also read that he proposed they would be okay with a 12-game suspension, but a very hefty fine.
Like a $20 million fine.
I think he proposed a $10.5 million fine, which would essentially cover the salary that he got last season while not playing. I wonder if Deshaun Watson's camp would be more amenable to that scenario, which would get him back on the field
time
quicker.
Time out. There is a limit to how much you can fine a player and that's dictated by a collectively bargained sure. set of rules. So there's no chance that the Players Association is going to allow one of their players to be fined $10 million.
Well, I think you wonder if it's going to be floated to the Browns. Listen, you can either have option A or B. A full season suspension where he's going to have to reapply and lose his salary, which is only $1 million this year because of the way you set it up.
Right.
Or take your medicine, take a 12-game suspension. You'll be back on the field this year, but you're also going to have to pay a $10.5 million fine.
The team or Deshaun the player? Watson. Because, the player can only be fined so much.
What if he agrees to it? What if he agrees
you can't agree to something that is outside the confines of the collectively bargained agreement. You just can't say, hey, I know it says this in the bylaws, but we're going to agree to... No, I mean, you can't do that.
Okay,
because it'll set precedents that they don't
want.
So then
what's going to happen is we're looking... I would predict we're going to have Deshaun Watson...
I think we're going
to
have
Peter C. Harvey is going to go ahead and suspend him...
For the whole year.
For a full season.
Yeah. Peter C. Harvey is on the job.
And he's going to have to apply for reinstatement.
With Deshaun Watson's situation as a backdrop, I'm getting to the story that you teased before the break. I know what you're going to say after I read you this headline. There's no chance this is true.
I know. This is the Onion, right?
Cleveland is hosting the National Massage Therapist Convention one block away from Brown Stadium.
I'd like...
The convention kicks off August 25th and will conclude on the 27th.
And this had to be booked years in advance, or at least a year in advance, or close to it. You don't... Right?
Of course, this isn't all of a sudden they said, you know what we want to do? We're going to have our convention for the National Massage Therapists. We're going to hold it right next to the Brown Stadium because we just found out that Deshaun Watson did all of this stuff. I would think, in fact, that they've probably been trying to move the convention, but they've probably put a pretty sizable retainer down and they can't get their money back.
And
let the jokes begin.
Yeah.
Like, it's... do you have to put an ankle bracelet on Deshaun Watson if you're the Browns right now? So he doesn't, in the end of August, he matriculates himself across the way and finds himself at the convention center.
Part of the conditions of his, at least set down by Sue L. Robinson, was that he not... have any massages outside of Brown's approval, outside of the...
I get it, but it's Massage Christmas a block away.
If you're Deshaun Watson.
Like, you can't make this stuff up.
That's insane. It boggles the mind that the Onion, that is not an Onion story.
The American Massage Therapy Association will hold its annual conference at the Huntington Convention Center in Cleveland later this month in the shadows of First Energy Stadium. It's like having an AA meeting in a bar, right? I mean, maybe not an apples-to-apples comparison, but
No, what would be the comparable if... Like,
I mean, I think this is worse than having an AA meeting in a bar.
I would say this is like, you know, this
That's
is...
fair.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I'm about to make this comparison, but the one thing I'll say is I actually, for everything he's gone through, I actually applaud him because I've seen a lot of the work he's actually done. But this would be, and I'm about to get to it, if you had, the Westminster Dog Show in Atlanta after Michael Vick, like weeks later after Michael Vick had been convicted...
Yeah.
I will commend Michael Vick for all the work he's done to actually become a spokesperson against dogfighting. And I know that triggers a lot of people because they're very upset with what he did. But I think if you actually look into what Michael Vick did and the contrition he's shown and the actual work he's done to try and speak out against dogfighting, I think he's actually become a good advocate against it. So maybe,
An unthinkable crime, but he's been given a second chance and has made the most of it.
And he's done the most.
Yeah.
That's like what we're talking about, though. It's just insane that the timing and the coincidental nature of this has actually played out so that it's within blocks of the Cleveland Browns Stadium.
It's just crazy. Unbelievable. When we come back, an athlete loses a race for a reason that is probably right up Meller's alley, but something that will catch your attention. Plus, a story about the Earth spinning too fast. And I've got something else about a top scientist. The space telescope image is not what you think it is. I got a lot to get to when we come back. At HawkAuto.com, they've got cars, they've got trucks, vans, SUVs, and you can choose from new Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, Volkswagen, Nissan, and Wagoneer models, and a huge selection of pre-owned and certified pre-owned vehicles. They got them in stock and ready to drive home today. Save with 0% APR for 60 months, and no one will pay you more for your trade-in. Find your next car at HawkAuto.com. Drive what I drive. Drive a Hawk. On select models, $1,667 per month per $1,000. Financed with approved credit.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Score more than two runs tonight.
That's the plan. It's a free ticket Friday brought to you by Miller Lite and FanDuel. Pair of tickets right now to caller number 7 for the Sox and Astros on Monday, August 15th.
And let's hope that's not the total runs that the Sox score in this 4-game set with the Rangers.
Let's hope that is the case. Tough loss last night, 3-2. Not the way you'd like to start a series.
This is the way they start all their series.
Exactly. I was hoping they might turn it around, especially when they finally had a starting lineup that most people were expecting them to have for a large majority of the time.
By the way, we have the starting lineup for tonight as well.
We do. We do. Let's see. Any huge changes, Tyler Aki, to the White Sox lineup from last night?
The one big notable is that Luis Robert is playing the field tonight. He'll be in center.
Okay. So the super lineup is back tonight.
I believe the plan is I saw that Luis Robert is in center field, and I think he's going to be given a day off tomorrow. That was the initial report from the White Sox about a day, I think yesterday,
yeah,
when he was back in the lineup.
And Dylan Cease takes the bump tonight.
Yes, he does, and hopefully he can.
Your second favorite pitcher on the White Sox.
Right after Johnny Cueto, who's been magnificent, gives you a quality start, it seems like, every time he goes out there, and yet still they cannot get out of their own way.
Did you get a couple of fantasy points with Arsenal with a two-goal win over Crystal Palace?
Gabriel Martinelli with the first goal of the Premiership season, assisted by Alexander Zinchenko.
Let me know
when
you're done.
Big-time win for the Gunners as they start the league atop the table, taking down Crystal Palace on the road 2-0. So I know
athlete.
I'll be... Sorry.
You good?
Are you good? Is that enough?
No, I mean, no. I didn't mean to step on your recap of today's Arsenal-Crystal Palace match.
You tossed it to me, so I had to give you one.
Athlete loses race in Colombia after his penis came out in the middle of the run. In an unfortunate turn of events, an athlete lost a 400-meter race at the 2022 World Athletics U20 Championships due to a wardrobe malfunction. 18-year-old Alberto Nonino, who hails from Italy, was competing in the 400-meter, of decathlon in Cali, Colombia, when the incident took place. Alberto Nonino started off extremely well by gaining pace against his competitors, leaving the bystanders under the impression that he might win the race with quite ease. However, after Nonino passed the middle lane, he looked uncomfortable and kept reaching down to hold his crotch a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, viewers did not know what went wrong, but Nonino's pace decreased a tad bit, allowing his competitors to overtake him. The athlete, unfortunately, finished last with a time of 51.57 seconds. As per the local newspaper, sports journalist David Sanchez de Castro reported that Alberto Nonino's penis kept falling out of his shorts.
A penis.
The incident did not allow him to run properly during the race. The 18-year-old athlete did try to tackle the issue, but nothing worked in his favor at the moment.
A penis.
Is this a good problem to have?
When your penis comes out of your running shorts?
Yes.
When you're in a competitive race? My guess is
time,
he was winning, and he finished dead last.
Time and time again.
There's a problem either here. I like your shorts are too small, or
yes,
that may have been Merkin if he was running by Patrick Wisdom this morning.
A penis.
What?
I said that may have been Merkin if he ran by Patrick Wisdom this morning.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
I think what he's alluding to is that Randy Merkin has a...
A crush?
He loves his young Cubs?
Yeah, I know.
A fondness for Patrick Wisdom.
All right, can I scare the hell out of you right
Please,
now?
Let's
if that
do it.
Story didn't scare you enough.
Tell me about that.
The Earth is spinning faster than usual and had its shortest day ever. Yes, that's right. The Earth is spinning faster and recently recorded its shortest day ever, scientists say. June 29th of this year was 1.59 milliseconds less than the average day, according to scientist Leonid Zotov.
Oh, boy.
The normal length of the day is 24 hours or 86,400 seconds. But in recent years, the Earth's rotation has accelerated, shortening some days by milliseconds. Since 2016, the Earth started to accelerate, said Zotov, who works at some place in Moscow.
Yeah.
And recently published a study on what might cause the changes in the Earth's rotation. This year, it rotates quicker than in 2021 and 2020. They believe, he and his colleagues believe, the fluctuation could be caused by the Earth's tides. He says not every day is shorter, but if the trend continues, atomic time, the universal way time is measured on Earth, may have to change. Some scientists propose introducing a negative leap second. Since we cannot change the clock arrows attached to the Earth's rotation, we adjust the atomic clock scale. I don't know what any of that meant. Do you?
No, I mean, I got it.
We're spinning. Spinning fast.
As opposed to leap years, which have an extra day added, a negative leap second would mean clocks skip 1 second.
Yes, to account for,
some engineers oppose the introduction of a leap second as it could lead to large-scale and devastating tech issues.
Sounds like that. Well, the tech, it sounds like a Y2K concern.
Do you remember Y2K? I can remember where I was. We were living in Hawthorne Woods at the time, and we stayed up past midnight. Waiting to see if everything just came crashing down.
And it did not.
It did not.
It did not. And Tyler was 3 years old and had no concept of... Do you even know when we say Y2K, what we're referencing?
Like, weren't like the robots supposed to take over and stuff like that?
They were concerned.
We were all at the time... We were all pooping our shorts, which you were doing for obvious reasons. Yeah. You were a child in diapers.
The gist of it was that computer programmers were concerned that because essentially they had taken a shortcut when basically for all the code and everything they created for dates, they didn't put in four dates. It was always 99. The concern was that once the year 2000 hit and you went back to 00, computers wouldn't be able to function because the code that was written had only accounted for the final 2 years of every digit. And so the concern was that computers might believe that everything was resorting back to 1900 or even further back than that.
Every year we get like a good, the Earth's supposed to explode on this day.
Yeah, none of that stuff comes true.
In 2012 they had that, right? They made that movie about it.
A huge one, yeah.
We had an interesting conversation on our Unfiltered podcast today about aliens. Carmen and I were very much involved in the conversation. Yurko wanted no part of it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, I didn't know if you were you weren't here at the time. We did it at like 11 o'clock.
I mean, I would have gotten here if you would have asked.
Next time.
I see how it is.
Next time.
All right, up next.
That's all I got for you.
We have a very important giveaway. A football fest giveaway.
Oh, really?
I've got some VIP tickets for people to grab. And also, a lot of conversation about a young quarterback and what's going on.
Oh, I love your football topics. This is going to be good.
And I want to ask you a question about this franchise quarterback and whether or not the Bears would be better off with him or with Justin Fields. We'll do that next.
This right here.
Just letting it breathe for a second. Hey, it's your friend Tom Waddle. Let me tell you about the best banking team in Chicago, our friends and partners at Wintrust. And just like a perfectly designed play, Wintrust creates a game plan to help you reach your financial goals, like a checking account for your family, maybe a first savings account for your kids, financial planning for your retirement, a loan for your local business. Whatever your need, Wintrust has the right game plan for you. Wintrust's team of bankers, lenders, mortgage experts, and wealth and treasury management professionals, they all stand ready for any play life throws your way. Come check out Chicago's Bank, and when you open a new Total Access checking account today, get a special $300 offer. Visit Wintrust.com/TAC or visit them at any of their nearby locations to get to know your banker. Wintrust, proud to call this city home. $100 is required to open. Requirements to qualify. Must use link to apply. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.